ते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 6th chapter, text 24.
Tasmat sarveshu bhuteshu. Tasmat sarveshu bhuteshu. Dayam kurutasau ridam. दयां कुरुत सौरिदं भावमासुरमुन्मुच्य यया तुष्यत्यधोक्षजः
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Therefore, my dear young friends, born of demons, please act in such a way that the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the conception of material knowledge, will be satisfied. Give up your demoniac nature and act without enmity or duality. Show mercy to all living entities by enlightening them in devotional service, thus becoming their well-wishers. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18.55, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yaschasmi tattvatah. One can understand the Supreme Personality as is only by devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj ultimately instructed his class friends, the sons of the demons, to accept the process of devotional service by preaching the science of Krishna consciousness to everyone. Preaching is the best service to the Lord. The Lord will immediately be extremely satisfied with one who engages in this service of preaching Krishna consciousness. This is confirmed by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 18.69. Nacha tasman manusheshu kaschin me priyakritamah. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. If one sincerely tries his best to spread Krishna consciousness by preaching the glories of the Lord and his supremacy, even if he is imperfectly educated, he becomes the dearmost servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is bhakti. As one performs his service for humanity without discrimination between friends and enemies, the Lord becomes satisfied and the mission of one's life is fulfilled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised everyone to become a guru devotee and preach Krishna consciousness. Yare dekha tare kaha Krishna upadesh. That is the easiest way to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By such preaching, the preacher becomes satisfied and those to whom he preaches are also satisfied. This is the process of bringing peace and tranquility to the entire world.
Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva lokamaheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam gyatvam mam shantim richati.
One is expected to understand these three formulas of knowledge concerning the Supreme Lord. That he is a supreme enjoyer, that he is the proprietor of everything, and that he is the best well-wisher and friend of everyone. A preacher should understand these truths and preach them to everyone. Then there will be peace and tranquility all over the world. The word sauridam, friendliness, is very significant in this verse. People are generally ignorant of Krishna consciousness, and therefore to become their best well-wisher, one should teach them about Krishna consciousness without discrimination. Since the Supreme Lord Vishnu is situated in the core of everyone's heart, every body is a temple of Vishnu. One should not misuse this understanding as an excuse for such words as Daridra Narayan. If Narayan lives in the house of a Daridra, a poor man, This does not mean that Narayan becomes poor. He lives everywhere, in the houses of the poor and those of the rich. But in all circumstances, he remains Narayan. To think that he becomes either poor or rich is a material calculation. He is always Shadaishwarya Purna, full in six opulences. In all previous conversation where Prahlad is instructing his schoolmates. His schoolmates are all the sons of various demons. And just like a very prominent school where the sons of celebrities go, similarly, in this school, one can expect the sons of various generals of his armies, commanders, treasurers, his housekeeping staff, basically the sons of elite, the top brass of Hiranyakashipu's kingdom, their sons naturally would be studying along with Prahlad. So Prahlad is taking a big risk. There is one thing to prosecute devotional service on your own. If you chant your mantra privately in the corner of your house, in the privacy of your own surroundings, and don't tell anyone, it is bad but not worse. But when you actually start preaching, you tell everybody that, here I am a devotee. More than that, a Vaishnav, he tells others, you become like me. According to the flow of this 21st century thought process, it eventually had to come there that psychologists take everything today as, oh yes, it's okay. This person has this kind of predilection, some kind of thing he likes to do. Maybe he is like that. Maybe it's in his genes. And this went up to the level where a book came out, I'm okay, you are okay. I like to fish, you like to play golf. It's okay, this is my hobby, that's yours. If we stretch it to little reality, if my hobby is to pick your pocket, will that be okay? Well, then it's not okay. If I'm a serial killer, I want to kill you because I can't help it. And this is what they have done. Most of these killers have pleaded insanity. I don't know why I did that. So when Srila Prabhupada was told about this book, he says, I am okay and you are not okay. And devotees were surprised that how can we take such a stance that I am all right and you are not? We are supposed to be humble. Our humility also has very high expectations, humbler than a blade of grass. Normally, people say, I am humbler than him. Or, I am not that greedy like her. But Krishna doesn't want that kind of standards. If humility is to be tested, Krishna puts forth Haridas Thakur. Oh, humbler than Haridas Thakur? Not possible. Or tolerant than Sanatan Goswami? Very difficult. So this thing about the state of mind being okay and not okay, we need to understand it from, of course, Srimad Bhagavatam also talks of psychology. Psychology basically just means how the mind functions. They may talk of high language, but actually what it means is how your mind, what's inside your mind? Jayadvait Maharaj once told that, I have been very close to Srila Prabhupada. And one thing which is the goal of my life is that most attractive proposition, how to have a mind like Prabhupada's. How does he think? And the mind is like a very soft, pliable substance. It can mold, it can take any color. You keep mind to a particular, near a particular object, it takes that color. You associate yourself with someone, you take that person's color. You read some book, you take that color. You eat something. So many things we do, and the mind just keeps on accepting colors so much so that finally at one point of time, we forget what the original color was. But originally, the mind just like a reflector. So here we find Prahlad, very bold. Last few days, many devotees have commented on the boldness with which Prahlad is preaching. He's summarizing his statements in today's verse. After that, he elaborates more on what he means when he says that, my dear friends, tasmat, therefore, you are born of demons, daitya. Please act in such a way that the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the conception of material knowledge, will be satisfied. Now, there is very less chance that any of his friends would be knowing that there is a Supreme Lord and he is beyond the realm of knowledge. In fact, later, the friends, they asked Prahlad, wait a minute, where did you get this knowledge from? How come you know all these things? Who told you? And then that, actually, to a genuine preacher, to a topmost devotee of the Lord, any questions you ask, you'll always find it ends in glorifying the Lord, glorifying the Lord's devotees. Nothing more than that. So when asked about where did you get this knowledge, Prahlad starts glorifying Narad Muni. And that's also a hallmark of a top class preacher. So he's saying, accept the Lord and be satisfied. Give up your demoniac nature and act without enmity or duality. Show mercy to all living entities by enlightening them in devotional service, thus becoming their well-wishers. Many significant points have been raised in this purport, and whatever I could gather by my paltry gathering power, I thought we can discuss them today here. One statement which caught my attention was, this is the fifth statement, sixth line, preaching is the best service to the Lord. And this, especially in ISKCON, where even a newcomer walking in our center, he gets that blast that here everybody is a preacher, or at least supposed to be. What do we mean by preaching? Preaching, does it mean just soliciting, or preaching, does it mean like enforcing our opinion on others? There are many misconceptions in India, at least. Someone who's not a preacher sometimes get respect. Oh, he's always in his own. He doesn't bother anyone else. And why should one? If this kind of understanding is based on the conception that let everybody do what they want to do, then it is wrong. Then that's not preaching. Once I was having a discussion with someone, and that person was not having these beliefs, but he was relating that many people feel that you want to be a preacher? You have the audacity to call yourself a preacher? Have you realized yourself yet? Are you pure? So what right do you have to tell everybody that you should become pure? There is a element of truth in it, but as with everything else, the action is not as important as the motive behind it. Especially true in the sense how Prabhupada encouraged all of his followers, not just those whom he personally initiated, but for rest of ISKCON's existence, we all should be preachers. And how do we preach? Preaching doesn't just mean that somebody is a frontline soldier and he's a real preacher. In times of war, the best way to ruin your enemy is to rain bombs on them. And just like every country, they have their squadron of fighter planes. The bomber pilots, they get so much respect. They risk their lives. Many of them know that there is 1 in 4 chance that he might not come back alive. So they are the ones who are supposed to be like the rescuers or protectors. But one who loads the bombs on the plane, one who washes his clothes back there in the barracks, one who cooks for them, are they not any way connected to the war effort? They are. So in this way, even somebody who helps the preacher also is considered a preacher. If they don't do their job properly, what if somebody fails to put explosive in the bomb? You drop the bomb, nothing happens. So everything counts. Of course, the one who actually goes and drops, he gets some special credit, no doubt. But that doesn't mean that everybody else is not a preacher. Prabhupada gave example like a pujari doing his puja alone, or somebody just mopping some corner of the temple. They are also preachers. So in that sense, ISKCON society offers a wide spectrum of services. Why is preaching called the best service? Another statement which also requires much more elaboration. It is the easiest way to become recognized by the Lord. Now again, this could lead to some understanding that how do I become recognized by the Lord? The Lord is in my heart, in your heart, everyone's heart. He already knows me that I am doing such and such work. The example could be given, like a soldier serving in the Indian Army, he gets his pay packet every month. As a soldier, his name is in the records and he gets his pay. But recognition comes when he does some service, like he saves. Perhaps many of you might be aware, there is a Hare Krishna devotee serving in Iraq, currently in the war, and he also has a website called Baghdad Bhajans or something like that, Battlefield Bhajans. There were rockets bursting around his camp and they were having a Rath Yatra inside. He says that rockets generally come sometimes in ones or twos, sometimes in batches. So every time the attack occurs, I have to grab my Shilas. He has his Govardhan Shila, he has his Jagannath Balya Subhadra, and just have to wait for luck. Perhaps it could be that very corner where the rockets would fall. But recently he rescued something like 30 or odd civilians and he got a special medal. Now, he just doesn't remain an ordinary soldier. He gets his pay packet, but he gets a special medal. Now he's recognized for his service. Similarly, as a spirit soul, the Paramatma is there. He's providing all your needs. He's fulfilling everything what you want. So it doesn't mean that Krishna doesn't know you exist. He knows. But recognition comes when one tries to serve the mission of the Lord. So in that sense, preaching, like Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur advised Srila Prabhupada, preach in the English language will be good for you and good for those who hear from you. So we preach not because we already are delivered. We never find good preachers talk in terms of you all conditioned souls or come on, be pure devotees. How long can I wait? No, it's not like that. Srila Prabhupada himself always put in the category of conditioned living entities. Simple discussion was taking place on four kinds of ashrams, varnashram system. Prabhupada said, first class men, intelligent class. Second class men, the administrative ones. Third class, the grain producers, agriculture, mercantilists. Fourth class, those who serve them, various capacities. And a voice from the audience said, so you are in the top class, right? Prabhupada said, I am in the 10th class. I am the servant of everyone. So Vaishnavism tries to go beyond these various levels and ultimately establishes itself as a servant of everyone. But we serve everyone not because we want to serve them. We want to serve the Supreme Lord. So we serve Him first. Prabhupada mentions this important concept here. Rather a misconception here. Daridra Narayan. We shall discuss that later. In one conversation, Prabhupada said, preaching means the demons have to be converted. Otherwise, what's the meaning of preaching? You may say you have done so much, so many things I've done, so many buildings erected, so many publications distributed, but actually preaching means the demons have to, the conversion process has to start. Otherwise, there is no meaning of preaching. In the last paragraph, Prabhupada stresses on the word sauridam. It has this connection with surid. Sanskrit has various ways of understanding relationships. In English, we say friend. Not exactly friend. He's a dear friend. A very dear friend. A very, very, very dear friend. But it's repetitious. It doesn't have that poetical touch to it. But in Sanskrit, we have mitra. First, you just have madhyastha. Someone is just a middleman or parichit. Madhyastha. Mitra. Bandhu. Surid. It goes on to a very high level. Surid is, you know his heart. He knows your heart. You are so close. So Krishna establishes himself as Suridam Sarvabhutanam. In one sentence, Krishna has made a sweeping remark. I am the most dear friend of everyone. We may say, how come if you are most dear friend, we never knew you for such a long time? So this case, this friendship has been always intact from Krishna's side, but was severed from our side. And that's why we are suffering. He's very close to the heart. How close? To pure devotees, he actually reveals what his mind is. If we read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, these are a series of verses, but I just thought that very, very clearly we understand how Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, I mean, one thing is to admire how wonderfully Lord Chaitanya comes and tries to establish his mission, the purpose for which Lord Chaitanya comes. And the second wonder is that actually Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami understands his mind. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, in the first part of Adi Leela, he begins this topic. He wants to establish why Lord Chaitanya comes here, the purpose behind the Lord's descent. Yatheshta Bihari Krishna Kare Antardhan, Antardhana Kari Mane Kare Anuman. Yatheshta Bihari Krishna, he moves around as per his wish. No one can tell him, do this or don't do that. If anyone can tell Krishna something and Krishna obeys, one should understand a very deep bond exists between them. Chirakala nahi kari prema bhakti dan, bhakti bina jagater nahi avasthan. Chirakala nahi, for a long time, Krishna has finished his pastimes in Braj. He is not on that particular universe manifested now. And he is saying, for a long, long time, prema bhakti has not been given here. And without this prema bhakti, Lord Krishna feels, there is no purpose behind keeping maintaining this universe. Like if in a prison house, if none of the prisoners ever get reformed, they come out, they become more hardened criminals. Someone might say, just close it down, just shoot them, you know. People say like that. What's the purpose behind the prison house? It's a correctional institution. In today's politically correct language, a prison is sometimes seen as an insult. You're not a prisoner, he's a correctional institution inmate. Whatever it is, but where is the correction going on? So, this is necessary. And similarly, the purpose of this material universe is that there are so many things growing here. What do we do with them? Of course, the atheists, they are united in saying that you have it, you enjoy it, that's yours. When I am doing my own enjoyment, don't bother me. But actually, everything is meant to be utilized in the service of Krishna, and understanding what was missing in my life, that I am in, I have been put here in this miserable position. To understand misery also requires cognizance. Like somebody is a punch drunk, he's drunk so much, he hits himself on the ground, blood flows from his forehead, and he says it's all right. So similarly, being materially drunk with power or intoxicated with sense enjoyment, we don't understand how miserable we are. For those who are regular preachers, you might have noticed that sometimes people say, I really feel miserable now I attend your class. Previously it was all right. Well, now you have realized how miserable you are. It's not like you are miserable now. You are understanding, and that's good. If you don't understand that you are sick, you might die of that sickness. Isn't it? Like doctors may say, oh, you came in the nick of time. So similarly, preaching is like that. So Lord Chaitanya, Krishna himself feels that if this world goes on with their peace treaties and wars in between, no, that's not the purpose behind this world. If there is no bhakti, I don't feel like even maintaining this. Who's saying this? The one who has the main switch in his hand. If he decides to put it off, all the lights go out. I mean all the lights. There would be people praying or cursing or whatever, but now the lights are off. So therefore it depends. It's important we understand this personality's mindset. Sakala jagate more kori vidhi bhakti. Vidhi bhakti brajabhava paite nai shakti. At the most, now this at the most, just realize, this at the most is like the topmost strata of all other Vedic scriptures. Most scriptures, all of all Puranas, they elevate you from dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Be a good boy. Just like you may tell someone, you do your homework, then you can watch your TV. So that's like dharma, artha, kama, moksha. You're main interested in watching, but just because you get a license to watch, you want a license to watch, so you do your homework. So that's typical dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And here Lord Chaitanya is saying, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, this may give rise to vidhi bhakti, may give rise, no surety of it. Braja bhav paite nai shakti. The braja bhav, the mood of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, this kind of flimsy structure of dharma, artha, kama, moksha cannot withstand the weight of braja bhakti. Just like a flimsy platform cannot suffer the weight of something very heavy. Aishwarya gyane te sab jagatam mishrit ऐश्वर्य शिथिल प्रेम नहीं मोरा प्रीत. ऐश्वर्य ज्ञान, नो वंडर श्रील प्रभुपाद कॉल्ड चैतन्य चरितामृत द पोस्ट ग्रेजुएट स्टडी. ऑल द डिवोशन टू विष्णु और टू द लॉर्ड इन द फॉर्म ऑफ द लॉर्ड ऑफ वैकुंठ, लॉर्ड चैतन्य सेइंग दैट इज ऑल ऐश्वर्य ज्ञान. दिस होल वर्ल्ड इज हैविंग दिस मिक्स्ड फीलिंग विद ऐश्वर्य ज्ञान. ऐश्वर्य शिथिल प्रेम, जस्ट लाइक यू मे हैव सम कॉन्सेंट्रेट, ड्रिंक कॉन्सेंट्रेट, दैट्स व्हाट दे कॉल आई थिंक. इफ यू मिक्स टू मच वॉटर विथ इट, इट लुक्स लाइक ऑरेंज ड्रिंक, बट देन यू रियली हैव टू स्ट्रेच योर इमेजिनेशन दैट हाउ इट कुड बी इफ यू डज इन द प्रॉपर फॉर्म. Like one teaspoonful of concentrate and say 60 glasses of orange juice. You drink all of them, but you don't feel satisfied. So it's shithil, it's slack, slackened. But Brajabhav is thick, concentrated. It is soft, sandra, but it's also thick. So this Aishwarya Gyan, he says, Aishwarya Shithila Prema Nahi Mora Preet. I don't like that so much. ऐश्वर्य ज्ञाने विधि भजन कोरिया वैकुंठ के जाए चतुर्विध मुक्ति पाया. एट द मोस्ट यू कैन अचीव इज वैकुंठ, एट द मोस्ट एज इफ लॉर्ड चैतन्य सिंह वैकुंठ इज दैट्स नॉट रियल थिंग. सारष्टि सारूप्यार सामीप्य सालोक्य सायुज्यन लय भक्ति भक्त याते ब्रह्म ऐक्य. फोर काइंड्स ऑफ मुक्तिज आर देयर एग्जिस्टिंग. सारष्टि which means same opulence. The Lord is willing to share the same opulence. Sarupya, the same bodily features, very attractive. Samipya, in the same vicinity or very close. Salokya, on the same planet. And Sayujya, merging in Him. This is one thing which Vaishnavas can never accept, of merging. But even these other muktis, they also have a significant understanding that just take how impossible this is in this world. If a very rich man, take the richest man in the world, whether in the computer industry or real estate or finance or whatever, if he says, I love you, I want to give you everything. If he gives us everything, he's finished, isn't it? He's finished. If he says, I give you today all my wealth, he says, well, that means you are the loser then. Krishna can actually give you all his wealth, still he retains his own. So it's not a win-lose or a lose-win game. That's why no one can do that here. Sarupya, the most beautiful man or woman, if they call you and they say, stay with us, but you can't get their beauty. You may say, well, you call me your own, but look at the mirror, you know. Every time I see, I feel depressed because you are so beautiful and I am not. Also, it also reveals that Krishna is not a jealous God. Some people have this understanding that, like some religions, it is stated in the scriptures that I am a jealous God. Don't have any other gods before me. What does this jealousy mean? It has a transcendental ring to it. But Krishna is not jealous in that sense, that even if you are liberated, you still retain your bodily features as they are in the material world. Just to keep the distance, you know. I am the boss, you are the servant. As they say, nazar nichi. Never raise your nose and talk to me. Not like that. Sarupya, he gives the same beautiful nose, cheeks, face, facial features, everything. Samipya, keeps you next to you. Salokya, on the same planet. He may offer Sayujya also. Krishna, there is no problem. But there is no relationship. So Vaishnavas don't accept that. And now, in the next three verses, this is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who has, he's such a confidential associate. The Lord says Surit, but here we find, he is knowing Krishna's heart. युग धर्म प्रवर्ताइमो नाम संकीर्तन चारिभाव भक्ति दिया नाचामु भवन. I will come down, yuga dharma pracharimu, naam sankirtan. I'll do that. Nachamu bhavan, I'll make everyone dance in ecstasy. Apani karimu bhakta bhav angikare, apani achari bhakti shikhaimu sabare. I will personally do it and then teach others. Apane na kaile dharma shikhan na jai, eita siddhanta gita bhagavata gai. If you don't practice what you preach, then there is no meaning of preaching. Apane na kaile dharma shikhan na jaye. Dharma is something which you have to practice yourself. Not a very big point, but one of our devotees was attending Bhagavad classes by a very reputed, very expert narrator. But when he found his own personal puja, this person was a speaker in his own home, he was doing Shiva Puja. So this person asked him that, you say in your Bhagavad classes it's Hari, Vishnu, Krishna all the time. So how come you personally do this puja? No answer. Again, it's not a question of whether we are enemies of Lord Shiva or we hate Lord Shiva. Not in that sense. But if we have to follow the process of the Mahajanas, who are the Mahajanas? Prahlad, Janaka, Bhishma, Balir, Vaya, Sakir, Vayam, all these Mahajanas, single-pointedly they are devotees of Vishnu. In fact, Lord Shiva too is a devotee of Vishnu. So why this disparity? So unless you practice yourself, there is no question of preaching dharma. In fact, this is the last note on preaching. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that, Srila Prabhupada says in a purport, the pure devotee is the preacher. It's not like we preachers or you are a preacher, I am a preacher. The pure devotee, Nityananda Prabhu is the preacher of Lord Chaitanya. And we are the assistants of the assistants of the assistants of Lord Nityananda. Kabe Nityananda More Kori Daya Chhadai Ba More Vishayar Maya. He says, when will Lord Nityananda be merciful to me? And that last stanza, the Thakur says, Shri Agya Tahala Karibo Prachar. I have volunteered myself to do prachar, but Shri Agya has to come. The divine nod. Yes, he may start. And of course, therefore, if even recruitment is such a stringent issue, we will see how Prabhupada is so munificent that he came as if he needed help. So that is the ruse. You understand? Ruse, that is a trick that Prabhupada played. I agree with Prabhu, one of his disciples, early disciples. He had a dream. In his dream, he saw a 10 to 12 year old boy, dazzlingly brilliant, nicely smiling at him, or some kind of interaction was taking place. And he says, who are you? And a voice says, don't you recognize him? He's a Swami. He says, he's not a Swami. Because that time he was acquainted with Prabhupada. He says, Swami is about 70 years old. He's an old man. He says, that's a Swami. So he says, why doesn't he show us this form in New York City? Then a voice told him, then you would be attracted towards that effulgence and not to the personality. You might not serve him the way you are serving him now. As many Prabhupada disciples attest, their first instinct in seeing Prabhupada was, such an old man. Such an old man, we should help him. And Prabhupada also would in his lectures say, I am old, I may die at any moment, but you will live. In Jalandhar or in Amritsar, maybe Jalandhar, Prabhupada's first visit to Punjab, Prabhupada told the people there, you write an advertisement, Swami A.C. Bhaktivedanta and his disciples who are preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. they are conducting a satsang program. And Satsuro Maharaj writes, by seeing this advertisement then, we felt kind of normal. Well, yes, Prabhupada is there and we are preaching. And now, after so many years, we come to know that Prabhupada single-handedly kept 108 temples afloat. And some of his most stalwart disciples are thinking, one is enough. And that too is having so many different managerial issues. So it was not true that the preaching was done by the followers of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. It was he alone, practically doing everything. But then, that's the nature of a Vaishnava. So, preaching is the best service one can give. We don't preach because we like to, or that's a natural service for us to sit and pontificate. No. We preach because it is good for us and good for others. And we are the first recipient of our medicine. If we need something to do ourselves, we do it by telling others. As they say, you learn twice when you teach. You learn twice. Because now you have to wrap the words in such a way that people understand, and that helps your understanding too. So, we do equally require our medicine. As they say, physician, heal thyself. Similarly, we also need to have the same medicine. So much so for the preaching part. This, Prabhupada very nicely, I think it's the only instance I have read here. Mahaprabhu therefore advised everyone to become a guru devotee. So a guru is not somebody who is head of our shoulders. He also is a devotee like everybody else. But he serves as a guru. He also is a servant. Prabhupada gives us a 3-point formula here. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. He is the proprietor of everything and is the best well-wisher and friend of everyone. One is expected to understand these 3 formulas of knowledge concerning the Supreme Lord. One major problem in this world today is people don't understand how great God is. There is just no information. Check out in your own lives. Only when we were allowed a glimpse into what Krishna can do, at least we are convinced that I am not Krishna. I have some ideas about myself. I am not the mean mortal. The person next to me thinks of me like that. But I can't be Krishna for sure. So when somebody comes and says that their guru is Krishna, we know, disaster. Claim anything else except Krishna. If you say I am God, we have no problems. And Prabhupada was very clear. This is for an ant, a human being is God. So in that case, everybody is God. A husband may tell his wife and his family, all of you repeat, I am God. And they may do it. You may say, why? We have to stay here. Let him do this to somebody in the street and say, hey, I am God. You may get a resounding slap. So then you may say that, if you don't know, don't be so angry. But the fact is, everybody is a God. So that kind of God, a controller, we are not interested in. We want to understand who has control over everyone else and no one has control over him. In the Nectar of Devotion, there is Dwarkadhish, the Lord of Dwarka. Just try to understand, Rupa Goswami is saying, the opulence of Dwarka, that one of Dwarka's gatekeepers, the Dwarpal of Dwarka's palace. This is his conversation. He comes, it's a massive room, waiting room, because Dwarkadish, his guests are also very exalted people. So he says, Varundev, please, shh, don't make noise. And all of you, Indra, I told you Dwarkadish cannot meet you today. And the rest of you, do you have your appointments? No. So please don't disturb. That is the daily occurrence there. So many demigods, they come with their small chits and everything. I was told yesterday, but now. And please, please, just once today. And here is one security of Dwarka. He's a Dwarpal. And he says, shh, no, nobody should make any noise now. He's taking rest. Don't disturb him. Rupa Goswami doesn't demean those, but he wants to show that if you're serving Krishna like that, just see this capacity. Like one heckler is, they are the ones who make fun of a speaker or something. This man who always used to, his only thing was to disrupt a speech or put off the lecturer. So he said, Swami, and Prabhupada looked at him, I think I am the one who is moving the sun, moon, stars, this whole planet. Prabhupada said, what's the difference? Everyone thinks like that. This was a shocker for him. He never felt the Swami would agree with him. And he was like nonplussed. He looked at everybody started like a shock look, then started laughing at him. And Prabhupada said, you want to add anything? And he said, no. Then sit down. Be a nice god. Sit down there. You control the planets and moon, everything. What's the big deal? You may say, but there are millions of such suns, millions of such planets. Try to understand that. And even this is not Krishna's glory. That's the whole point. If you praise a king or a prime minister today, that you are the one who is maintaining 37 huge prison houses in your country, you are very great. You have successfully put 3% of your population behind the bars, and you are maintaining them every day, giving them very soft bread and very clear, pure water. Is that glorification? The prison statistics are something which people want to just hide away. People go to visit a place, show me the prison house first. Exciting. Is it like that? You have been to the United States, did you visit any prison houses? Did you? Were you there? No. So there is no glory. Do you want to know the prison menu? What's being served? What's tomorrow? Bread, water. Then bread and water. Then bread and water. Very nice. I'm just trying to make a point that Krishna is not glorified when you tell him that he's the boss of this universe. That he's the lord of this universe. That's like a shameful thing. Bhinda prakriti rashtadha. In one sentence Krishna has said, Arjun, this energy, although is mine, is separated. That's not exactly me. If you want to see me, come to Braj. The sweetness of Braj is what, this is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, that this is what I have to give myself. So three things. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. All the bulbs go in our mind. Oh, now we found that one. The supreme enjoyer, huh? Who made him supreme enjoyer? Who gave him this right? Some big, big minds. Big minds. Narad Muni has a classic verse for that. They may control lust. Some people do. By performing great austerities. So if that lust is compared to your ocean, which you already have crossed, and then there is anger, a small ditch, and you drown in that. So it's no easy process. Who are these people? They have recourse to everything, japa, tapa, kriya, everything they have, except pure bhakti of Krishna. And that's a big problem. So, the moment, now the preacher's task is delicate. You have to introduce Krishna. You can't introduce Krishna as, oh, he is the 35,450,648th God of the total 33 million. And he also is a good candidate. Please vote for him. No, it's not like that. These 33 millions are available in every planet. Of course, a big person has to have assistance, isn't it? So that's how Krishna has all these. He is the supreme enjoyer. because he is a supreme proprietor. We are all enjoyers, but we are not the proprietors. And his greatness is, although being the enjoyer, although being the proprietor, he wants to continue being the best friend. If he wanted, he would have severed the connection immediately. You want to go on your own in the material world, not have any connection with me? Get lost. But he never does that. A true friend never leaves in any situation. We know that. A friend in need is a friend indeed. This is how the Paramatma, Krishna as the Paramatma, acts as our true friend. A small discussion on this Daridra Narayan and then we'll wrap up. It's very important we understand this concept called Daridra Narayan. Very interestingly, Srila Prabhupada says that, very funny, Mayavadis and impersonalists, they have coined this expression, Daridra Narayan. Oh, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. There is a very popular and a very false philosophically kind of story where a devotee is making chapatis. As they come up the stove or the fire, he puts some ghee on it. And there is a chapati on the heap and there is one chapati on the stove and he's about to put ghee on it. A dog comes and runs it with his... He catches the chapati in his mouth and runs away. You must have heard of it sometimes. And this person takes the ghee utensil and is saying, my lord, you forgot the ghee. Please, please, please. And people say, wow, look at his bhav. He's seeing God there in Paramatma. There is, he's not lost at all. He sees God everywhere. This, by the way, is a very good story, but is wrong. Why is that? Aren't we supposed to see Shuni Chaiva Shapake Chapandita Samadarshina? Samadarshina, seeing God everywhere. Prabhupada asked, why do you criticize so and so? Why do you criticize so and so? Aren't you supposed to be Samadarshi? Prabhupada said, we are. While taking knowledge, we take from Krishna. While giving knowledge, we are Samadarshi. When we take knowledge only from Krishna because he is the source of all knowledge. But when giving knowledge, we don't make a distinction. Samadarshi. We are Samadarshi. One man asked Prabhupada, these are all classical allegations which we encounter in India especially. Swamiji, why do you preach only to a class of people? Your Gita is supposed to be like for everybody, but I see that you always cater to the rich people. Why is that? You discriminate. We don't discriminate. We give our free food to the poor. Prabhupada said we give knowledge to everybody. We don't discriminate. But you discriminate by giving food only to the poor. Why don't you give your free rice and khichdi to the rich people? Because you yourself know they won't take it. But we don't see it that we are simply distributing khichdi or halwa. We distribute Krishna prasad, which is for everyone, materially rich or materially poor. So please try to understand. There is so much of word jugglery involved with Mayavad and impersonalism that they have created havoc. So regarding this, Prabhupada said, this is a specific Mayavadi description. Danda dharana matrena naro narayana bhavet. You accept the danda, you become Narayan. So they worship each other as Narayan. Namo Narayan. I call you Narayan. Call me Narayan because that's what I want. So you are Narayan, I am Narayan. Prabhupada says they are missing the presence of the real Narayan. And that is why they start calling each other Narayan. Narayan can never be Daridra. Why call Narayan Daridra? So this serving the poor is actually poor in heart. Even one very famous social worker in Calcutta, this lady was asked, why do you serve in Calcutta? She said, I can serve anywhere. But this was an opportunity afforded to me. And then she added, but I have seen more poverty of the heart in the affluent places of this world. Here you have poverty of material riches, material things, But I have seen more poverty of the heart. And that also is poverty. So whom should we give charity? Prabhupada is clear. No to Daridra Narayans. Because in that Daridra Narayan Seva, you continue want to be a humanitarian worker and that fellow should continue to be a Daridra. This is very bad kind of help. A Vaishnav, he pulls someone and tries to push him above him. That's how all the preachers have preached. So, some very important statements about charity. Prabhupada says here, charity is never unproductive or blind. Charity offered to persons who deserve to accept charity by dint of their spiritual enlightenment. I'll repeat. One should never offer charity to someone who's just poor. You have to offer charity to somebody who is enlightened spiritually. Then he can properly use what you have given. Oh, you mean to say we are driving and in Bombay beggars come. 1 rupee do, 2 rupee do, whatever they ask. We should not give them? There is an alternative. Give them Krishna Prasad. I think many years ago Srinathji Prabhu said, he always keeps some Prasad. After that, we made his temple policy too. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur cautioned, especially householders, that if you deny somebody help, your heart becomes hard. There is some kind of, you can say, sadistic pleasure in telling somebody, get out, don't stay here. You may get that pleasure because somebody is materially poor, but then the result is your heart has become harder. To avoid that, you have to give something. But if you give money, money can be misused. So therefore, give Krishna Prasad. Of course, many beggars today may not like Krishna Prasad. That also is a fact. They might specifically ask you for 5 rupees. Or they might specifically tell you what they intend to do with your money. Chai piyega. You may say, okay, you want my money to drink tea? Or egg bidi piyega. Oh, what's the use of this charity? You can't give that kind of charity and you and he both go to hell. So basically, like in today's times, I have this personal experience. I told somebody, no money. He said, "Arey, aajkal sadhu ke paas zyada paisa hota hai." They might have seen, especially in progressive societies like ours, we move around in vehicles or we carry so many things. Like Akinjan Krishna Prabhu, that they told about brahmacharis carrying mobile phones and laptops and traveling in good quality conveyances. That thing comes up. But the fact is, charity is never unproductive. Nor it is blind that you just don't know whom you are giving. You have to know. And especially those who can utilize what you have given with their spiritual enlightenment. That is the main purpose of charity. The day I was traveling, there was a newspaper headline. 73,000 crores, that's the subsidy being given by today's government for farmers. And just next after that was a news item as to how so many so-called cooperative societies and others, they are doctoring their statement of accounts so that they can show that they are really in debt. That some societies who are actually performing well are now again writing their accounts to show that they have made a big loss and then the government subsidy can be achieved. So this is Kali Yuga. If nobody helps, farmers commit suicide. If they all help, that's another suicide. They just go from one material enjoyment to another. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada always said, the missing point is people don't understand. Krishna is the proprietor. Krishna is the enjoyer. But it doesn't stop there. And he is the best well-wishing friend. In this particular verse, the word for demons is those who discriminate between their friends and enemies. That means devotees don't do that. Preachers don't do that. Well, if you say, if I preach to somebody, this person becomes angry or this person starts throwing stones at me, what should I do? As a Madhyamadhikari, You can do prema, maitri, krupa, upeksha. Prema is for the Lord alone. Maitri is with the Lord's devotees. Kripa is those innocent who can take your kripa, take your preaching. And upeksha, neglect of those who are inimical. But the fact is that as Prahlad Maharaj showed in his very bold way, he did not wait for to graduate out of school and get some good Brahmanical boys and then he can preach to them. He started preaching right in that Shandamarka Academy for demons. To become good demons, whatever. And that's his boldness. And later verses will prove how Prahlad is true to the parampara. When he was asked, who gave you this knowledge? He mentioned how Narad Muni preached to him, especially to his mother, while he was in his mother's womb. And without getting the benefit of the dust of the lotus feet of a devotee like Narad Muni, Prahlad assures them, there is no way we can be delivered from this world. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any comments? Corrections? In preaching, when we are stressing on some principle of devotional service, we find that we are tested on that same principle of devotional service with double force. Is that the way Krishna deals with his devotees, or this happens because we do not have a humble disposition of mind while preaching? Please explain. I take it to understand that if you tell somebody, don't be greedy, don't sleep while japa, and you find that you are tested. So your question is that the way Krishna deals with his devotees, or this happens because we do not have a humble disposition? Basically, our preaching is, we are preaching on the order. We are the order carriers. I always like this understanding that Nityananda Prabhu is like the big munificent landlord who is opening his granaries. A landlord has a big granary, there is a lot of grain, and there is a famine outside. Drought, no food anywhere. And he is telling his servants, go to every town and village and tell them there is a feast here, come. So we go and we announce. And we announce as if, it's my feast, I am giving, hey, come. You want to eat nicely? Come. So he may say, are you serving? Are you providing me food? So a genuine bishop says, no. It's not me, my lord. He is the master of all these granaries. He is giving a free feast. So, as much as this is true, the preacher may also come across those recipients of his mercy who are more advanced than him. That's also quite true. Purvabhyasena tenaiva riyate avashopi saha. So you might find somebody who is eligible candidate for a free gift and then you find he's more elevated than you in devotional service. Normally we feel that a teacher should always be more advanced, but that's not the case. Prabhupada says, will I be happy if none of my devotees surpass me? But if one disciple surpasses me, that is to my credit. Anyway, so this is apart from the point. So this is not that Krishna wants to deliberately show you. Krishna is not a sadist. Krishna is not a god who feels happy that one of his devotees has fallen. Why should he take pleasure in our falterings? Just like a small kid, when he or she is trying to climb or rise up, the parents clap. Or they take photographs. Look, this is the way, there's a photograph in Lilamrit. This Gopal Agarwal's family, when their young son, he stood up for the first time. And that's a picture of it. Is that a earth-shattering event? That young Bridge stood up. His name was Bridge, by the way. But for them, it is a significant thing. Similarly, Krishna only applauds when devotees even take faltering steps in devotional service. The tests come because we are weak. As 2 days ago, Gaurang Priya Prabhu was relating that poem by Thakur Bhakti Vinod. स्वाधीन नाही ए काया. गोपीनाथ, माय बॉडी इज नॉट विद इन माय कंट्रोल, एंड नाही मम बल ज्ञान सुनिर्मल. आई डोंट हैव स्ट्रेंथ, आई डोंट हैव प्योर नॉलेज, सो यू आर माय ओनली शेल्टर. लाइक टू ऐड समथिंग श्रीनाथ जी प्रभु? एनीवन एल्स? गोविंद प्रभु, so we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.